We're continuing this morning on our series, Rebuilding the Gates, Rebuilding the Gates. And my message this morning, discerning the enemy, discerning the enemy. Nehemiah chapter 2, and reading from verse 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And then moving down to chapter 19, Nehemiah 2, chapter 2 and verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn, and they despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them, and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Father, will you bless this word? Will you make it effectual? You said that we're not to be ignorant of the devices of Satan. And my God, I pray even this morning by the anointing of God and in the authority of Jesus' name, we ask for a breaking of every strategy of hell that was forged on the very anvil of the devil himself. My God, will you bring a deliverance? Oh God, we're here to build a church. We're here to raise up, Lord God, a church, Lord God, out of born again believers. And my God, I'm asking, Lord God, strengthen us. Don't let us be ignorant of the devil, his tactics, his lies, his devices to try and hinder us. See, in a church that will glorify your name, just bless your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Paul writes in the New Testament that we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, or the word devices mean his cunningly devised and planned strategies. You see, the devil does have strategies. The devil isn't just off the cuff. He doesn't act off the cuff. The devil actually has carefully planned strategies. The devil is real. His activity is real. And I know we've said a lot about the devil in recent months, more than maybe I have in my entire life. But it's important that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, especially when we're building a church, especially when we mean business in a city. I'm here to destroy the works of darkness. I want to see the drug addict saved. I want to see the atheist saved. I want to see Catholic priests born again. I want to see the prostitute saved. And believe me, when I have that heart within me, the devil isn't going to leave me alone. The devil won't leave this church alone. He is going to say this church is a threat. The big religious church down the road, he leaves alone. There could be 5,000 there. There could be 1,000. Or there could be 100. If they're not bothering him, he won't bother them. He says, I've got them nicely tied up. But when you get a people who mean business and who say we want to see a real church raised up, well, the devil takes note of that. Our message this morning, discerning the enemy. We have already seen how Nehemiah, there was a vision birthed within his heart concerning seeing the walls of Jerusalem and the gates of Jerusalem rebuilt. We also seen the stirring of the remnant, their hearts, their vision, their desire, the call to come and build. We have also looked at diagnosing the disaster. Something terrible had happened, and you've got to diagnose what is wrong before you can bring an answer to it. But this morning I want to deal with discerning the enemy. You see, Nehemiah had come to Jerusalem. He's stirring the people to build. He sees the walls need built again, the gates put back in their place. And we read in Nehemiah chapter 2, concerning enemies that were immediately on the scene. You see, as soon as you've got a man who has a desire within his heart to do the church good, and it comes out of a pure heart, the enemy is there immediately. Now look at chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10 and verse 19 and verse 20. We read about three specific men. And these three men are the foremost enemies of Nehemiah. They do everything in their power to stop the building of the wall, the repairing of the breaches, and the gates going back in. You see, these three men were actually, they weren't atheists. They weren't just people out there in the world. Neither were they just pagans. All three of these men were half-baked Christians. They were people who pretended or half-pretended to be in the house of God. Let's look at the three of them. Sanballat the Horonite. Sanballat the Horonite was the main leader who opposed Nehemiah in the building. He was actually a governor of Samaria to the north of Jerusalem. Here's Jerusalem, here is the city, and just above it is an area or a province called Samaria. Well, Sanballat was a very important man in that area, in that region. He was a governor. His family was very important. He was a man that was respected. But Samaria is a place where they mixed Judaism with their own pagan religions. Two people came together, intermarried. There was pagans and there was Jews, and they mixed it all up together to become a tragic mixture. But here's Samaria. Jerusalem isn't doing very good. Jerusalem is looking in a bad state, but Samaria is looking very good. Now their religion, which is a mixture of two different types of belief, was put together, and here's Sanballat. You see, these are days in Jerusalem where Sanballat can walk through Jerusalem. People will tip their hat to him. They'll say, good morning, sir. They give him reverence. They give him respect. The people in Jerusalem were accepting Sanballat as a religious man, as a man that was, that believed in God, and a man who could walk through Jerusalem. All his people, the Samaritans, were also, they could walk in any gate, come walking over the walls, walk in the streets, or trade. But yet, Nehemiah didn't accept him as a man of God. Nehemiah didn't think he was right with God. Nehemiah didn't think he was religious. What about the second man? Tobiah the Ammonite, or his name means the Lord is good. You see, you can get someone in the church and they're always saying, the Lord is good, the Lord wants to bless you. Do you know what the Bible says? But they're not living for God. They're not a real Christian. Who was Tobiah? Well, Tobiah was of the people of the Ammonites. They were to the east of Jerusalem. So we've got the Samaritans to the north. We have got the Ammonites to the east. And out of that people, the Ammonites, came this man, Tobiah. Now, where did his people come from? The Ammonites were descendants of Lot. Do you remember Lot? Going down there to Sodom. He was a half-baked Christian. Oh yes, he really was justified. He really did believe, but he lived for the world, destroyed his family, and lost everything. Only got to heaven by the skin of his teeth. Well, look, who are the Ammonites? They were born out of an immoral relationship that Lot had. Lot slept with his daughter out of fear, out of drunkenness. It was a one-off act. It was a tragedy. But the Ammonites were born out of that. Who are the Ammonites? Oh, they've got a spiritual heritage. We go all the way back to Lot. Our denomination, our church, has some good old preachers in it. We do descend from Lot. Do you know Lot was our founding preacher, our apostle of our church? Yes, he was a half-baked believer in God as well. You see, Tobiah came up as a great leader of a powerful family of the Ammonites. Then thirdly, you have Geshem, Arabian. Now, he led an association of Arabic tribes to the south of Jerusalem. So we've got enemies in the north, enemies to the east, enemies to the south. The Arabian tribes were made up of Ishmaelites and many other peoples. Remember who Ishmael was? He was come from Abraham, was born of the flesh. Do you see all these three men have a spiritual heritage? They can all look to Abraham or to Lot or to things of the Bible. They all have a veneer of biblical religion. And yet all three of them are absolute enemies of the truth. And these three men walk through Jerusalem. They're accepted in Jerusalem. They are respected there. They trade with the people in Jerusalem. They intermarry with people in Jerusalem. But they are enemies of the glory of God. They are enemies of the plan of God. And yet, there's many in our day who are like Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem. They are still here in this generation. They are in the church, but they are against the church. I'm not talking about sinners battling over sin. I'm not talking about backsliders. I'm not talking about people falling on their face. I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about those television evangelists. I'm talking about the priest down the road or a minister down the road that says, sure, you're okay in your sin. You'll be okay. He is a Tobiah. He is a Sanballat. You know why? He doesn't care about God's glory. Doesn't care about the church. And he'll say, sure, you're doing fine. Aren't we all religious? Don't we all believe in Jesus Christ? And yet they're liars, they're cheats, they're game players. They come from Ishmael, Lot, and a confused mixture of religion. I want to give you this morning six attacks of the enemy led by Sanballat, by this religious coalition in the church, but they're against the gates, they're against the walls of Jerusalem going up. And I tell you, if we're going to build a real church here, you've experienced these six attacks, or you will experience. Remember we said there was only 38 people named who were building the walls of Jerusalem. Let's go here quickly through these six attacks, because I believe if we're going to build a real church, a godly church, the church that God wants, these six attacks are going to come against us. You need to know them. You need to see them. You need to be ready for them, because the enemy will come. The first attack came in the form of ridicule. What was the first attack? It was ridicule. And Sanballat led it. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10. I want you to note here that there's three times that the enemy attacks. Before you begin building the walls and the gates, halfway through building them, and when you finish building them. But there's also a fourth time. Every space in between. Amen. So in other words, the enemy will come before you even begin. He'll attack you during the work, and he'll attack you at the end of the work, and he'll come in all the gaps in between. In other words, he is against you doing the will of God, or us doing the will of God as a church. And I am not ignorant of his devices. This first attack didn't come when they began to build the walls. Nehemiah is back in the city. He hasn't lifted a brick. Nobody has begun work. He hasn't even stirred the people yet. And yet the first attack comes. Once Nehemiah's back in Jerusalem, in the midst of all the rubble, he's got a heart for God and a desire within him. The enemy is against him. This first attack comes before you begin working. It's to stop you starting the work. It's to hinder you thinking it can happen. It's to make you think it's a stupid dream in your heart. Your loved ones won't get saved. God isn't going to move in your life. God isn't going to save you. God isn't going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me, the devil comes against you in this room with ridicule. Don't think God's going to save you. Don't think God's going to do a work in this church. This is the first attack of the enemy. Look at chapter 2 verse 10. And when they heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Here is a man who has a desire and the enemy attacks it. He comes with ridicule against those who have a desire. Maybe you have a desire in your heart this morning. Maybe you have a prayer before God and the devil comes. Now God hasn't answered. You don't see it. You haven't begun. But the devil comes and attacks with ridicule. Look what happens here in verse 19. It says, but when they heard it, they laughed us to scorn. Now look at the first attack at the enemy. Nobody has started anything. The work hasn't begun. And the enemy is laughing. He is mocking. He is scorning. What is this? This is ridicule. He's laughing. He's saying, Paul, don't you be thinking that. Don't you even tolerate that thought. Don't think that you're going to get the victory over sin. Don't think that God is going to use you. Don't think that you can get away from me. Don't you start. The enemy literally starts. Starts laughing at Nehemiah. He starts pouring out mocking and scorning. He goes further and he despised them. You see, this enemy despising Nehemiah. What is it to despise? He treats you of no consequence. That's what it is. Look at you. You're of no consequence. You won't be able to do anything. What you're doing means nothing. Don't think praying unto the Lord anything's going to happen for you. Don't be thinking that. This is how the enemy attacks your mind. Make sure God speaks to your heart. The devil speaks to your mind. God's saying, you can believe, you shall believe. The devil says, no, you'll die in your sins and go to hell. This is how the battle actually works. And it says, and he said, what is this thing that you do? This is the enemy speaking. Do you know the enemy always speaks to you? He speaks to me. So he's mocking him. He's despising him, treating him like nothing. And he says, what is this thing that you shall do? What are you going to do? You think you're going to rebuild the walls? You think you're going to put the gates back in? You think you're going to do something wonderful for God? What is this thing that you're thinking you're going to do? You see, the enemy begins to ridicule those things that we desire in our heart. And he goes one last step in saying, will you rebel against the king? Here he's speaking in Nehemiah, a man under submission. And he's saying, you're a rebel. If you start on this, that you're in rebellion against God. Who do you think you are? What do you think you're going to do? What's the enemy trying to do? He's making you making you feel small. He's trying to make you think it's a stupid thing you've set out on. He's trying to make you take it and cast it away and say, what was I ever thinking of to think that God would do this? And the first great attack of the enemy is ridicule, mocking, scorning, making you feel hopeless, worthless, irrelevant, and a rebel in heart. If you do this thing, you are a rebel. Who do you think you are? I'm a redeemed saint of God. That's who I am. That's who I am. How did Nehemiah respond to this? We see it in verse 20. Look at him. He says, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. That was his response. What was Nehemiah's response to the ridicule, the mocking, the laughter, the accusation of rebellion? He says, well, the God of heaven, because that's who I'm going to. I'm not dealing with you. I'm not dealing with someone out there. I'm not dealing with the Catholic priest down the road. Let's go to God in heaven. And when we go to God in heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and we shall build. Do you see what it took? He could have fallen apart. He could have laid down and cried and went, they're not being nice to me, they're mocking my desires. No, he rose up and said, well, the God of heaven, he's going to help us and we are going to build. You can mock me, you can laugh. I am going to go and evangelize. I will tell my family that Jesus is alive. The devil will come and say, who are you to tell your family? Why are you looking at your life? Why are you telling others? Just you keep it to yourself. No, I know who that is. I will arise. I will tell others. I am going to believe God. I will pray for revival. This was Nehemiah's response to ridicule. When you get into a prayer meeting and the devil begins to ridicule you, you turn to him and say, we will build. We will pray. We will preach this gospel. This is what Nehemiah done. He said, listen to me, Sanballat. Listen to me, Tobiah. Listen to me, Geshem. We, this little remnant, we, this small band, we together. See, there's unity, isn't there? Yeah. Isn't there unity? That's the answer. Well, how do we stand against ridicule? Let's unify. Let's stand together and say, we're going to build. Do you ever get ridiculed? Do I get ridiculed? Does this church get ridiculed? Let's build together. Let's stand together. Let's unite our hearts. Listen to what he says. But you three guys, you have no portion in Jerusalem. Means no property. You don't have a little bit of land. You don't have any rights in Jerusalem. You don't have a memorial. What's a memorial? You know those little plaques? Joe Bloggs used to pass by here. Yeah. Joe Bloggs done something in this city. Do you know what Nehemiah says? If I find a plaque with your name on it, I'm ripping it off the wall. If I find one of those nice park benches dedicated by Sanballat, I'm going to burn it for firewood. I'll make it a part of that gate, but you're not going to have any memorial. By the time I'm finished, your name won't even be known within the gates of Jerusalem. You should never have been in here. I'm going to make sure you're outside of it. You see, this was fight and talk from Nehemiah. You're not going to have anything in the city of Jerusalem. You can get lost. That's what he's saying. See, us bunch, we're going to unite. There's unity. Tobiah, you've got no place in here. You're an enemy. Sanballat, you're an enemy. Geshem, you are an enemy. What you call salvation isn't what we call salvation. What you call the church isn't what we call the church. And you're ridiculing us for going back to prayer and holiness and the baptism and the Holy Spirit and standing on the Word of God. And you're trying to mock us and make us feel small. We'll rise up and build. Yes. That is the first response of Nehemiah to attack. He actually says, God will prosper us. The word prosper there in verse 20, it means to push forward, to break out or succeed. You know what you're telling me? I'm a fool. But God tells me He is going to prosper us. God is going to bless us. It may not feel like it. There's nothing but rubble around us. It is a disaster around us. We're only a small band, but God is going to bless us. We're going forward. Amen. The second attack was intimidation. It might seem a bit like ridicule, but it is a bit different. Now the work has begun. Now the men are on the walls, and the women and the daughters. They begin to lift bricks, go through all the rubble, and try to find the bricks that need to go back in the wall. The work has begun. So the enemy now in these three men comes against the work. In chapter 4, verse 1, you get this second attack. It says in verse 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wrath. Do you know what the word wrath means? It means to go red with anger. It means to blow your stack. It means to froth at the mouth. Look what it's saying here. This is the second attack. No, we're going to build. We keep going. So the enemy blows up, gets angry, and it says that he took great indignation. Do you know what taking indignation means? It means it's a reaction to what you're doing. You're beginning to build a wall. So what does Sanballat do? He takes great indignation. He says, I am indignant because you're building. I'm angry. You caused my anger. If you stopped building, I wouldn't be angry. If you weren't doing all of this, I wouldn't be acting the way I'm acting. But it's you, what you're doing here, coming to Jerusalem, it's your action stirring everyone to build has made me mad. No, you're mad because you're against God. That's what it is. And it says that he mocked the Jews. Now it goes on in verse 2, and you begin to see what the intimidation is. He actually says five things here in this verse 2. It says in verse 2, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria. So he's got a whole army there now. It's not just three men, it's all of the Samaritans. All of these half-baked, compromised, mixed gospel have come down against Nehemiah. Nehemiah wants a pure church again. He wants a pure gospel. But the Samaritans come and listen to what Sanballat says to the Samaritans. Five things. What do these feeble Jews do? He calls the Jews feeble. Yes, they are feeble. So are you. Yeah. See, this morning, have you ever had it? The enemy's trying to intimidate you. Look at you, bunch. You're feeble. Yeah. Well, it happened in Nehemiah's day. I'm not intimidated by it. Well, look, where's your great army? No, just us bunch from the perfume shop down the road. He used to be a goldsmith. He used to be a druggie. He used to be a blasphemer. But yeah, we're the builders. We're the ones that are going to do that. Is that your army? Look at these feeble Jews. Secondly, will they fortify themselves? He's trying to intimidate them. Do they really think they're going to strengthen themselves? Thirdly, will they sacrifice? Or what are they going to give? They don't have anything. Are they going to do some great sacrifice for God? Fourthly, will they make an end in a day? Look at them. The way they're speaking, the way they're acting, it's like they're going to have revival all in one day and have all these walls built in one day. Who do they think they are? Fifthly, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now this is the intimidation of the enemy. He is asking questions. And you be careful of the questions the devil asks you. Look at these feeble Jews. Well, this tree, I'm rather feeble. We're only a small band, aren't we? Look at you little bunch on O'Connell Street. Do you honestly think you'll make a difference in this city? Yes, I do. I really do. Look how feeble they are. Look how small. Look at their income. Their bank balance is so small. And they're actually talking like they're going to see revival and see the whole city saved. Yes, if we can help it, we will do. You see, the enemy wants to intimidate. And then you've got his sidekick in verse 3. You know, every big man who's attacking God's work always had as a sidekick. And his name was Tobiah. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. All these big men, they never come alone. They need a whole bunch around them. They always need plenty of friends to say, yeah, I agree with that as well. That's how they work. Now, look at Tobiah. He's standing beside this by Sanballat, and he says, amen, Sanballat, keep preaching it, bro. He goes on to say, even that which they build, if a fox go up there, that fox will utterly break their little stone wall. Look at it. Oh yes, they're working away. But you know, a little fox could destroy the whole thing. Amen. Tobiah, you preach it as well. Look at the two of them. They are trying to intimidate. They're speaking in front of the army of the Samaritans. Can you imagine them standing, laughing, making fun, joking, saying, what do these feeble Jews think? Look how feeble their wall is. Everything they've done so far, it is so feeble, it could fail by next Sunday. All the people who've come in the door, they won't be here next Sunday. The prayer meeting will be empty. Let a spiritual fox run through LCC and all of them will be at home. No one's going to be here. There'll be no fire, no faith, no hope, and it's all over. They'll have to pack their bags. Mr. Nehemiah will make his journey back to Babylon again. What's Nehemiah going to do to this second attack of intimidation? We get the answer in verse 4. He prayed. He's a man of prayer. He doesn't have an answer. He goes back to prayer and he says, hear, O Lord, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. It's not me. It's not my battle. I didn't plant this church. I didn't stir all your hearts. We're here in the will of God. Lord, you put this church here. You gathered us like this. You put a vision in our heart. The enemy is mocking you. This isn't a mockery of me. It's an intimidation of you. Lord, just hear the enemy. You deal with the enemy. Because it's not me. This this is how Nehemiah dealt with the intimidation. Don't take it personal. This is his church. It's not your church. Yeah. Neither is it my church. Yeah. When the enemy comes intimidating, pointing out our weakness, laughing at our work, looking at how small or how insignificant, that's not for you to take personally. I tell you, you go, Lord, did you hear this? Lord, he's mocking your work. This is your church. I wouldn't be here saved otherwise. You wouldn't have sinners drawn in who say, I want God. I can't do that, but God does that. Lord, did you hear what the enemy is saying? Will you deal? You see, that was how you deal with intimidation. You take it to the Lord. And in verse 6 in chapter 4, it says, so built we the wall. Keep building, saints of God. Don't look over your shoulder. Don't begin to worry about numbers or anything else. Just keep building. As they began to build, they built until half the wall. For the people had a mind to work. Now look at this. The enemy is saying, look how feeble they are. That wall's going to fall down. Well, they just kept working. Now you've got half a wall. It's up, saints of God. They are doing tremendous because they've got a mind to work. They said, we will work. We will build. We will preach. We will pray. We will stand our ground. We will encourage one another. They're not being moved about. Intimidation can move you. Intimidation can stop you because you begin to say, it's true. Yeah. It's true. Don't you dare say that. Just take it to the Lord in prayer and say, now Lord, this is your responsibility. I can carry this. Third of all, here they are. They've reached the point of half the war is built. Now what is the enemy going to throw at them? An all out offensive of war. It's an all out war. First, ridicule. Second, intimidation. Third is an all out war. In verse 7, we read that the Arabians gather, the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, all joined together with the Samaritans. Look at these four great armies. The Arabians came with Geshem. The Ammonites came with Tobiah. The Samaritans came with Sanballat. But who are the Ashdodites? The Ashdodites are the Philistines, one of the cities of the Philistines. Who are the Philistines? They were the original inhabitants of the land of Canaan before God moved into the land. Do you know what it represents? Your old nature. Yeah. The Philistine always represents your old life, your old nature, the old Adamic. Do you know what happens with this third battle? The devil just brings up the Philistines. Who is it? You thought you got rid of me. I'm your old life. I'm your old man. I'm what you used to be. And I come knocking on the door. I don't need my old nature. When I'm facing Samaritans and Ammonites and all of these Arabians, I don't need to see my old nature. But here comes my old nature. Hi, I'm alive. Have you ever had it? You're in a battle against hell. You're in a battle against the devil. And here comes up something of your old nature. Oh, that can happen to a Christian. Yes, it can. Yes, yes it can. Romans chapter 7. Paul wrestling with himself. He's born again. He's a preacher. And he says, you know, I'm wrestling with this old man. He makes me feel like I'm dead. Yeah, yeah. There is a warfare. Here's an all-out warfare. Sanballat brings up all the military force. It says in verse 8 that all of these armies conspired all together to come and fight against Jerusalem. This is too much. Yeah. All we are trying to do is build a little wall to live behind and to see something of the glory of God again. And all of these armies, I do not need this, saints of God. Look at them all. All these half-baked Christians, all of these preachers who want to stop the work of God. They're not out winning souls. They're telling us what we're doing wrong. Yeah. They're not out there crying out for the souls of men. They're here saying, what are they doing? They're trying to hinder us instead of being on the streets or encouraging us. It says they conspired together. That means it was a secret conspiracy. See, they were going to do this secretly. We'll attack Jerusalem in the middle of the night. We'll come up through the holes in the walls because only half a wall is built. We are going to destroy Nehemiah and all his people. Their work is going to be stopped. This great strategy Our conspiracy was plotted. What did Nehemiah do? It says in verse 9. Nevertheless, we prayed unto God. What's the answer? When you know that everybody's joined together, they've got a conspiracy and they're going to destroy you and it's all over for us. Well, I'm going to pray. Nehemiah done it. We do it again. Nehemiah simply said, nevertheless. What's nevertheless mean? Never mind all that. We're going to pray. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. And is that all? No, they set a watch against the enemy day and night because of them. In other words, right, let's get on the walls. Let's be prepared. We're ready for the enemy. This is an all-out war to stop the building. Do you think this church can come under such a war? Yes. The powers of darkness can all mount up and say, we will destroy them. We're going to stop the work of this church, the evangelism, the soul winning, the prayer. We are going to inhibit it. We are going to stop it. We want to stop the building of God's walls. Well, I assure you, pray and watching is the answer. When you pray, watch, keep your eyes open. Yeah. Don't just be ignorant. That means you keep an eye out for the enemy. You say, is that the enemy coming? Is that someone to endanger us? Well, we want none of it. I'm going to stop the enemy. You see, it's an hour of war, saints. It is an hour of war. And Nehemiah calls them to watch and pray. Watch and pray day and night. Don't fall asleep. Don't just lie down and think we're okay. We are on a battlefield. This isn't just building a wall. We are in a war. We're not just having nice meetings together. We are in a war against the powers of darkness. I tell you, the devil in this city is against this church. And I want you to know that. He hates this church. He hates this preacher. He hates this gospel. Well, I've got news for him. We're going to watch. We're going to pray. We're not moving. We're not stopping. We're not going down the road. I'm not going back up north. Some of you ain't going anywhere else. Brother, you're not going back to Africa, unless it's the will of God. But I'm tired. We're here to see the will of God done. I am here. I'll make my grave in Limerick if that's the will of God. I tell you, her and me will give her everything in order to see a church in this city. Let the enemy do what he's going to do. But you know what? When the enemy's coming in like that, there's a lot of attacks. Look at verse 10. We see discouragement amongst God's people. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. I'm feeling tired. Yeah. Ever feel tired? I'm actually not feeling as strong as I did a month ago or 2 months ago or 3 months ago. I am tired of the work. Prayers work. Evangelism is work. Standing is work. I am tired. Why are you tired? Because of all of the rubbish. There's so much rubbish we're trying to deal with. And I am tired. I've been carrying rubbish out. I've been trying to find God. I've been trying to touch God. And I am tired. My strength is gone. I feel I don't even have strength to touch Him. Something of strength has left me. And you know what that breeds is discouragement. A lot of rubbish, you're getting tired, you can easily get discouraged. It says God's people here were saying, look at all the rubbish. Be very careful what you say to one another. Yeah. Don't sit around that table and say, man, I'm finished. I'm so weak, I've lost my strength. It is over. Brother, we need to lay hands on you. Amen. You need to rejuvenate it. Amen. Look at the people. Doesn't it happen? Everyone's sitting around. Woe is me. Woe. I've got a worse story than yours. I'm actually more discouraged than you, Brother Paul. I'm far more discouraged. And then Soph gets it. No, I've got a worse story than that. Guess what they done to me? You see, when we get talking like that, be very careful. The enemy is out there. Don't let him in here. Let us strengthen one another and encourage each other. While we're licking our wounds, woe is me. Oh, aren't I feeling terrible? Why hasn't God answered my prayer? All the time the enemy is marching and he is going to invade tonight and destroy the work of God. Forget the discouragement for a moment. I tell you, thank God you're alive here this morning. But it went further in verse 11. And our adversary said, how did they know? They're talking here in their meeting. And our adversary said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease. They're sitting together and they're going, do you know what? Not only is the work hard and I'm tired, but you know the enemy is saying, and the enemy is planning to invade us when we're asleep, and he's going to kill us all, and he's going to stop the work. Do you know the enemy's going to do that? Really, brother? Oh no, sister, what are we going to do? So the enemy's going to attack our church? Yes! How did you know? Everybody knows it. Everybody's talking about it. Do you know what is actually happening here? Look at verse 12. This is how they knew. Jews which dwelt by them. By who? By the ones building. Do you realize there were Jews in Jerusalem who weren't building?
Yeah.
Do you realize there was other genuine believers in the city? There were lots of Jews. I mean probably thousands. And yet only 38 named on the walls. But there were thousands in there. And it actually says in verse 12 that these Jews who lived beside them, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence they shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Do you know what they're saying? 10 times they come knocking. Nehemiah, do you know what? The enemy is coming to get you. Here, Billy Jones. Whatever your name is, Mary. I guess what? The enemy is coming. All these people are not on the wall. They're not doing anything. They're not in the prayer meeting. And said, do you know what? It's not going to work. Do you know what? You're going to cause trouble for us all. This building work is stirring up the devil. And do you realize you're going to die? Oh, thanks, buddy. 10 times these people in the city who aren't involved in the work, they're not getting up for the prayer meeting, and they come saying, do you know what? It's all over. This church won't work.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
The 10th time. Oh, thanks, buddy. You're a real brother in Christ, aren't you? Now, when you hear that report, either it'll cause defeat in you, or else it will give you the victory, because you know what? It reveals the plan of the devil. Either you'll say it's all over and the enemy's come and divide to destroy us, or else you'll rise up and say, well, I thank you, I needed to know that. Now I know what the enemy's doing. Now we're going to be ready. You see, what was Nehemiah's response to this all-out war? And remember, the war hadn't happened. It's all in the mind. I mean, the enemy hasn't attacked. He hasn't destroyed God's work. He hasn't killed them. You're still alive, you know. Are you still there? Are you still alive this morning? You might, the devil's telling you, you're finished. No, you're here this morning. Oh, you'll never get the blessing of God. Well, you're here, desiring it, aren't you? The devil is a liar. It is a real war we're involved in, but most of what the devil threatens you with, he never accomplishes, because God will stop it, and God will answer prayer.
Right.
What was Nehemiah's response? He set the people in place for war. It's not enough to be a builder anymore in this church. I'm commissioning every one of you to be a soldier. Oh, I'm not a fighter. Well, you are now. Oh, I'm not a soldier. I wasn't trained. Well, you are now. Oh, I don't have a weapon. Well, here's your sword. Oh, but I only turned up to build a few bricks on the wall. Well, now you're in the army of Jesus Christ. It says in the New Testament that he has chosen you. You didn't choose it. He has chosen you to be a good soldier. Oh, I didn't know this was going to be a battle. If I would have known being a Christian was going to be such a battle, if I would have known trying to get saved was going to be such a battle, I wouldn't have started. Yeah, but he chose you. You didn't choose the battle. I don't like the battle. I've got scars the full length of my back. From my neck all the way down to my heel. I have got scars in this battle. I am a scarred warrior. You know what? Par for the course. My crown is up ahead. Do you know what Nehemiah had done? He gave them a sword in one hand, a trowel in the other, and said, with that hand, keep building, and with that hand, fight the enemy if he comes. Nehemiah organized them, but he also preached, and he said, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Stop fearing.
Yeah.
Oh, but the enemy's going to get me. Stop being afraid.
Yeah.
Oh, but you don't know what the enemy can do to me. And he tripped me up before. He tripped me up this week, and he'll trip me up next week. Stop being afraid. Amen. Do you realize when you let fear in your heart and you begin to go, it's all over? Yes, it will be.
Yeah.
It's time to rise up and say, I've had enough of this. Get the sword in your hand. Yeah. Begin to fight again.
Yeah.
Saints, we are called to fight. But not only that, Nehemiah said, remember the Lord. Have you forgotten who the Lord is? Have you forgotten how great and terrible he is? That's what Nehemiah said. This is Nehemiah's sermon. Remember the Lord, that he is great. Mm-hmm. You don't look like you think he's great this morning. Oh, I'm feeling a bit down. Has he changed?
No.
Has the Lord changed his plan? Has the Lord deserted you? He is still a great God. Yeah. He is still a mighty God. And Nehemiah also says, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. This is a personal fight. If you lay down your arms, if you give up the fight, the devil will send your family to hell, your friends to hell, your loved ones to hell. If you don't fight, who is going to fight in this city? If you don't begin to fight for your fathers, your mothers, your cousins, your brothers, your sisters, do you want to roll over and say, it's too hard. I'm discouraged. I'm tired. I can't go on another day. Stand up and fight, saints of God. We are in a war. We are in a war. It's real. It is so, so very real. What Nehemiah had done, because the people were so few on the walls, and he said, look, there's a few working over there, there's a few here, there's a few there, we're all scattered, but we come together for our meetings, we come together to eat, we come together to pray and to praise God, but we're so scattered in the work, I can hardly see Ellen down the road there. Ellen, are you still there? Need to send a message to her. What Nehemiah said, let's get a trumpet man. Wherever that trumpet blows, all of us go to that place. Is Brother Pat having a battle? Let's all go to his house and have a party. Let's pray through. Is Brother William struggling this week? Let's pray through for him. Let's add fasting. Saints, this is how we do the battle. Blow the trumpet. Let's begin to pray. Let's encourage one another. Saints, one of these days I'm going to be hitting my enemies. I'm going to be walking in discouragement. Ian, you better come knocking to my door and say, I'm here to encourage you, Keith. Don't you believe the thought of the devil? Well, you can encourage him. Yes, you can. Yeah. I need encouragement like you need encouragement. I'm fighting the devil like you're fighting the devil. And we're all in this together. Nehemiah says, time for you to join the army of the king. Time for you to be a soldier. Don't be a little girl. Don't be a little boy. Don't roll over and die. You're in the army. When I was in the army, I tell you, those sergeants come, they tip your bed up. I'm tired, I'm not getting up. Yes, you are. Amen. They lifted the bed on its end, said, son, you better be out there, you're in trouble. We're going to march, we're going for a run, we're going to do it. We are in an army. Mm-hmm. Nehemiah even says in chapter 4:23, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. This is what we done in the Gulf War. I tell you, I never took my boots off. I slept with my rifle in my sleeping bag between my legs. It never got outside the sleeping bag. I had all my uniform on. I'm in war, saints. We're on a battlefield. I don't have time for some things. You see, this is fight and talk. Do you know what happened? When the enemy knew that they knew of what he was going to do, and they're ready and say, we'll fight you. And we'll fight in the name of the Lord. The Lord will give us the victory. The enemy didn't come. All of these great armies gathered said, we are going to crush you. But once we rose up, set a watch, prepared ourselves, put a sword in our hand, oh, they back down. See, they've got the numbers, but they back down. We don't have the numbers, but we've got the fighting spirit. Amen. We have the Lord on our side. Amen. We have a prayer meeting. After this attack, the fourth attack was counterfeit peace and unity and friendship. What a contrast to the war. Gathering everyone, we are going to destroy you. The fourth attack was counterfeit peace. Now, the walls, the breaches were fixed in the walls, but everything wasn't finished. There's no gates in place yet, but no breaches left in the wall. We keep building through all of these attacks. Saints, some people in churches, when the attack comes, where's Jimmy Jones? He's disappeared.
Yeah.
He's in a battle. Should have been in here.
Amen.
Should have been in here. This is a place for warfare.
Amen.
Are you hurting? Get into the meeting.
Amen.
Or have you messed up and failed God this week? Get into the meeting.
Amen.
Do you feel discouraged? Get into the prayer meeting.
Yeah.
Saints, you may not feel like it.
Yeah.
And it might be the last place on the face of the earth that you want to be. But get in there and you'll get encouraged.
Yeah.
They've fixed the breaches in the wall. In Nehemiah chapter 6, we have this fourth attack. Sinbalad and Geshem sent unto me saying, listen to what they say here. Come. Oh, that's different from war, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here comes the enemy now. Now, brother, we know we're members of the apostate church down the road. We don't believe in repentance. We don't believe in the blood. Our church is a disco. But hey, come. Let's sit down and talk. You were attacking me yesterday and you want to sit down with... Oh, wonderful. Now they love me. Oh, the Catholic priest. Oh, sure, come on, let's talk. Let's talk. We all believe in God. We all read the Bible. We all believe Jesus died and rose again, don't we? Surely we can join together. No, your gospel's a different gospel.
Right.
Look at these men. They send messages unto Nehemiah and say, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of, Oh no. When the enemy invites you to the plain of oh no, you better say, oh no. That's how you respond to the enemy. He says, come, let's just talk. Let's dialogue. After all, I've got a few opinions I want you to hear. No way. Don't listen to the devil. Someone out there who doesn't love God, and they say, here, let me sit down and discuss about God with you. I know your motive. I know what you are after. They actually invite him to come down. But listen to his response. He sent a message back and he says, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? That was his response. But four times they send a message saying, come on, let's dialogue together. Let's meet together. We are all one. We all want the same thing after all. And he says, sorry, I've got a big work. I don't have time for discussions. I don't have time for dialogue. I am not dialoguing over our differences. You are different than me. You don't believe what we believe. What is there to discuss? Your Mormonism isn't true. Your JW doctrine. Why would I discuss it?
Amen.
It is a false teaching.
Amen.
There's nothing to discuss. Mr. Mormon elder, you need to repent and be born again.
Amen.
Don't discuss. Don't dialogue. Preach the gospel.
Amen.
Testify to them what they must do. After four times Nehemiah rejects it, they send a fifth time with a messenger carrying a open letter. Now what's an open letter? It's not to Nehemiah, it's for everybody now. Here comes the messenger into the midst of Jerusalem and he's got an open letter. It's for everybody. Everybody can read it. It is addressed to everybody. No longer just to Nehemiah, but everybody. And it was carried in his hand very openly. And in that fifth letter, it was different than the others. It's no longer, come and let's just unite. This fifth letter carries three accusations. Listen to what they are. Written in it from Sinbalad, it is reported that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king. The first is an accusation of, actually, you're in rebellion, you're doing this for yourself, you have a hidden motive. Now, all we're doing is expressing what we've heard. We have heard that you're actually in rebellion, that you're against the work of the king, that this wall you're building is actually for you, it's all about you. That was the first accusation. The second accusation says, also we have heard... Remember, they're coming as friends, aren't they?
Yeah.
Hey, I just heard something about your church. I mean, are you saying the other churches are wrong? They are, if the Bible says.
Yeah, amen.
The second accusation was, thou hast appointed prophets to preach of you at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. They next accuse Nehemiah and the people of self-promotion, self-exaltation, of selfishness. Now, it's all about man. Nehemiah's trying to promote himself, make himself king, and get a ministry for himself. For goodness sake, do you think I'd have come to Limerick High Street to get a ministry? I was happy out there. I didn't come to this city to get a ministry. I didn't come here to get a name for myself or to build a church around me. I would have stayed out there. Do you think I'm some sort of fool? This is death to me, to be on this high street. And the third accusation, now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. In other words, the king in Babylon is going to hear about this. Do you realize? Don't we care about you? Don't we love you? Do you realize that it's going to be reported to the king that you're doing all these things? Then what is going to happen? Do you realize this was to create fear within the heart of Nehemiah and all the people? What did Sanballat suggest? He's bringing these accusations. Now, look, these are the accusations being made against you, brother. So come, let's talk. Let's go a day's journey from Jerusalem, leave the work, and you need to answer all these accusations that have been made against you. You're self-promoting. You're exalting yourself. You're a rebel. You're a trouble riser. You're a problem. You're stirring up animosity. Now let's deal with these accusations. Nehemiah says, I'm not leaving the work on the walls. Yeah. Go pack your bags. Yeah. But I'm not responding to it. You see, the purpose was to weaken their hands, distract them, make them afraid. And Nehemiah's response is in chapter 6, verse 8, then I said unto him, there are no such things done as you sayest, but thou findest them out of thine own heart. What a simple answer. I almost sent it to someone 2 weeks ago. They wrote me a letter of accusation. Accusation after accusation after accusation. I felt like sending them this verse and I thought, no, I'll get in more trouble. I think I'm trying to be provocative. But I wish I would have sent this verse now because it was a waste of time dialoguing with them. I should have just said, no, it's not true. It's all in your own heart, all in your own mind. You've connived it. Now get on. We've got to work. We're building a church in Limerick. Don't hinder me. Don't distract me. I'm not going a day's journey to visit you to talk about nothing and stupid accusations. Don't you threaten me. You're not making me afraid. We are staying here and we're building. And do you know what else his response was? He prayed. He prayed. Let's go to number 5 here. 5 is false prophets in chapter 6 verse 10. This was another attack of the enemy. It was false prophets. Look at verse 10 for a moment. It says, afterward. Now this is Nehemiah. After the previous attack, after that strategy of the letters trying to distract him outside of the city, in verse 10 we have another thing happening immediately afterwards. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, who was shut up. Now here's Nehemiah. He's going, where's Shemaiah? He's a prophet of God, you know. He's actually got a reputation. He gets words from God. He knows God's word. He knows the will of God. He's got a ministry, a real ministry from God. He is a prophet. God has called him to the ministry. Now, I haven't seen him around here. I hear he's in his house. He can't get out of his house. He can't make the prayer meetings. He can't build the wall. He can't fight on the wall. He can't be here. I better go visit him. So he goes down to Shemaiah's house, and Shemaiah shut up in his house, and obviously he wanted Nehemiah to come and visit him, because there was a reason. Nehemiah goes into his house, and this man, even the curtains are drawn, and he had to unlock the door to let Nehemiah in. Now I'm using preacher's license here, but I can well imagine it. I've been there. And he opens it and looks out. Anyone on the street? Anyone follow you? Come on in. Sit down here. And there's a whole batch of people. There's a lady sitting there. There's other men. And they're all talking, dialoguing. Brother Nehemiah, sit down. We have something to tell you. Do you want a cup of tea? No, there's no time for that. We have a word from the Lord for you. See, Shemaiah was a prophet. Listen to what he says to Nehemiah. He says, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay you. Yea, in the night they will. And I'm sure his voice quaked when he's saying this. I'm sure of it. Because the anointing of God is there. God is there and he's speaking for God. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. What a revelation. Do you realize this is going to happen to you? Do you realize what the devil's going to do? Come, Nehemiah, let's hide. Let us all go. I tell you, a man that's hiding in his house behind closed windows never comes to a prayer meeting. I ain't getting a prophecy from him. He'll no more get a word for the Lord from me than the cat on the high street. Impossible. A man who locks himself away, he's not there in the fight, he's not on the front line. Why would I listen to his advice? Well, I think you should do this. Never mind what you think. Well, you need to do this. Am I going to listen to a man like that? No way. How does Nehemiah respond? Verse 11. And I said unto him, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. What does he say to him? No, there's a lady prophetess. There's a whole group. All of them are prophets. And they're all saying, yea, God has said, Lord, showed me in a vision. I felt a shiver up and down my back. Oh, I seen something. I had a dream last night. It's going to go bad for you, Nehemiah. If I was you, I'd go into that temple and I'd shut the door. I'd batten down. Don't let anyone see you. Shh. Don't let anyone. Don't go on the high street today. Don't be doing it. Nehemiah says, I will not. Do you know why? In verse 12, lo, I perceived that God had not sent him.
Yes.
Do you know what the word perceived there means? It means to scrutinize the facts, to become acquainted with the details. He's listening to these prophets. Remember, he went in there open-hearted.
Yeah.
He actually went in thinking they're prophets. But as he listened to the message, he scrutinized the facts and he said, you're not from God.
Yes.
This is not a prophet. I'm not going to be afraid. He then realized that they had actually been paid by Sanballat. Sanballat had hired them to attack him and to create this plan to make him scared and to make him hide and to ruin his reputation and to make him sin. Because if he'd hid in the temple, it would have actually been a sin. Nehemiah said, I perceived. Don't give me that shaking and prophesying. And thus saith the Lord. I scrutinized the facts. Said, this isn't God.
Yeah.
This isn't God. I'm not going to go hide. God called me to build that wall, not to hide in a temple. Oh, be in the temple hiding. No, I'm going to be in the wall fighting.
Yeah,
that's
yes.
Where I am going to be. Do you know, as they continued to build here, interestingly enough, the prophetess with them was called Noadiah. It means to convene or to gather or to be led of the Lord. I can just see them all together. But do you know what Nehemiah had done? He shut the door behind him and said, you hide here. I'm going back to the wall and we're going to keep building. They finished the wall, saints. All of this was to stop the building of the wall. And you know what? These strategies are to stop this church and to stop you individually and to stop me. But by God's grace, we're going to finish the building of this wall. Let me finish with one last one. Well, you'd say, but the wall are built. Everything is there. Surely no more attacks from the devil. No, he'll come one last time. The last attack is disloyalty. It was actually involved the nobles of Judah. Who were nobles? They were leaders, people of importance, people of great families or of great wealth. This was a fifth column attack. It wasn't Sanballat. It wasn't Tobiah. It wasn't a warfare, it wasn't an attack, it was a fifth column attack from those who were genuine believers. They really loved the Lord, they had a good testimony, they did believe the Bible, but it's a fifth column attack. We actually read in verse 17 there that the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. They're emailing. Lots of emails are going back and forth. These men who are in Judah, they ought to be men of God. They should have been fighting and building, involved in the work. But do you know what? They said, I love the Lord. I believe in the Lord. And they're emailing Tobiah outside of the city and saying, do you know what's happening here? Lots of emails going back and forth between the enemies of God's work and these men of Judah. They should have been leaders. Here they are. These great noble men, they were men of maturity, maybe preachers, certainly leaders, and they are emailing with Tobiah. What do you do with this? And you know what they're doing? They're coming to Nehemiah, and they're saying, Nehemiah, do you know what Tobiah just emailed me? Nehemiah, do you know what he has actually said about you? Maybe we can do an in-between. Maybe we can reconcile Nehemiah and Sanballat. Maybe Tobiah and Nehemiah, we could sit down and we'll do a bit of, what do they call it?
Mediation.
And we're going to reconcile these two brothers who ought to be in love and fellowship together. Look at these barons, these spiritual men. They're not on the wall, they're not in the fight, but they want to reconcile everyone. Well, let's just make peace. Unity, brother. Unity, brother. That's God's will. I can tell you, Nehemiah says, if you think I'm sitting down at a table with Tobiah, it's a joke. You've got another thing coming. And there's Nehemiah hearing all these reports from these men. And it's getting carried back. And then Tobiah begins to email Nehemiah. They said that you said that that one said that he said that she should have done this. And it all got so confused. Tobiah's threatening them. The barons are saying, do you know what Tobiah said? And they go back and said, do you know what Nehemiah said? Isn't that how it happens? And it gets all confused. And let's just make peace. And we'll help you make peace. You'll make a pig's ear of it. Yes. That's what you'll do. I'm not sitting down at any table of reconciliation. What am I talking about? Disloyalty. These men were in the city of God, but they were faithful to someone outside the city of God. The Bible says in verse 18, these men of Judah were sworn unto Tobiah. They were joined by an oath. They were joined by a covenant. What does that mean? Do you realize it says there in verse 18 that the son of Tobiah was married into the children of Israel in the city? Do you realize Sanballat's son also was married to people in that city? There's one of the young men on the walls. His sister is married to Sanballat's son. All of this family connection. Do you realize what these leaders in Israel have done? Here's Tobiah's family had intermarried and they're stirring up. Well, let's all just be one. Jesus. Do you know what? There's not to be that interconnection. Yeah. Tobiah should be outside. They should never have married into his family. He is not of the people of God. It's a mixture. Yeah. And now you've got these grown mature men who know the Bible and they're compromised and they think Nehemiah's a problem. Or let's get Nehemiah and Tobiah together. Do you know why? Because of that marriage. You compromise, you let your daughter marry outside the kingdom of God to some old half-baked thing, and now you're compromised, now you're a danger to the city. Do you know how Nehemiah responded to this? If you look at chapter 6, there's no response. I ask myself, where is the response of Nehemiah? What did he do? You get the response in chapter 7 and verse 2. It says, then I gave my brother Hanani, who is he? He come in chapter 1 to Nehemiah in Babylon, saying, do you know the gates are burnt out? That's who it is. He gave to Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Do you know what Nehemiah done? He bypassed all these mature leaders in Jerusalem. Men of experience, men of testimony, men of years. And he said, do you know what? I can't touch any of you. If you're emailing with Tobiah, you're not loyal. You're not trustworthy. I can't lean on you. I can't depend on you. If you can't even see through him, and you think I'm going to make you a leader in Jerusalem, you've got another thing coming. I'll get me two men. One of those men, haven't seen him in a while, but he brought a message of a burden for the church. And you know who Hananiah was? He's there working on the wall. Let's raise these two men up. Why? They're both faithful. They both fear God. They both have a testimony. I can trust them. That's my answer. Do you know what, in this church, God help us. If you email with a Tobiah, you're not worthy to do anything in this church. If you're so connected to a Tobiah, an enemy of the gospel, a counterfeiter, a manipulator, a bigot, all of these things, I tell you, you shouldn't have any responsibility in this church. If you can't see through him, you cannot protect this church.
Amen.
We're dealing with the six attacks of Sanballat, of Tobiah, and all of these armies. Do you know what, saints? We're going to build this wall. We're going to put the gates back in. We are going to see people saved. We are going to see a move of the Holy Spirit of God. We are going to pray. We are going to stand. And you know what? You might get wounded along the way. You might fail along the way. You might suffer along the way. But it's time to get up. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are going to put these 10 gates back in this church. Please stand with me.